Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's All of It on WNYC. I'm Carrie Nolan, sitting in for Allison Stewart. Listeners, over the past 2 weeks, you've probably heard something about billionaires in space. Well, last week, Richard Branson visited the edge of space, making him the first space entrepreneur to make it beyond Earth's atmosphere. He's the founder of the Virgin Group, including Virgin Galactic, which is trying to create a space tourism industry. And this week, Jeff Bezos, the former Amazon CEO who now heads Blue Origin, made his first journey to beyond Earth's atmosphere. But the flights of the billionaires seem to leave a lot of people with a bad taste. Public critics of capitalism in general, like Richard Reich and Bernie Sanders, talked up the idea of taxing billionaires more to help address serious problems here on Earth. Others began to wonder whether space would become just another playground for the rich. The recent ascent of the space industry has introduced those questions and set up a divide. On one side is NASA. Listen to the lofty ideas that President John F. Kennedy evoked when he made his moonshot speech back in 1959.
There is no strife, no prejudice, no national conflict in outer space as yet. Its hazards are hostile to us all. Its conquest deserves the best of all mankind. And its opportunity for peaceful cooperation may never come again. But why, some say, the moon? Why choose this as our goal? And they may well ask, why climb the highest mountain? Why, 35 years ago, fly the Atlantic? Why does Rice play Texas? We choose to go to the moon. We choose to go to the moon. We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other things, not because they are easy, but because they are hard.
Well, that's the spirit that people have come to associate with NASA. And compared to those ideas, the notion of space billionaires could seem vulgar, less about optimism and more about ego and profit. But according to my next guest, space billionaires, or at least the companies they run, are a crucial part of NASA's mission today. About a decade ago, NASA calculated that they would never have enough money to get to Mars without the private sector. And so they started actively working to develop these space companies. So how did they do that? What does that look like? And what does it mean for the future of humanity in space? Here to talk about it is Dr. Philip Metzger, a planetary scientist at the University of Central Florida. He's the recently retired co-founder of a unit at NASA called SwampWorks, which aims to develop new technologies for spaceflight as quickly as possible. Hi, Dr. Metzger. Thank you so much for coming on All of It.
Hi, Carrie. Glad to be here.
You've recently retired from NASA, where you co-founded SwampWorks, which was focused on rapidly developing new technologies. What perspective did you get at SwampWorks about how a government agency like NASA interfaces with the private companies in this sector?
Yeah, that's a great question. For my entire time at NASA, we were working on concepts to make space exploration not just technologically viable, but economically viable. In fact, I like to tell people that the real problem of space travel is not rocket science. The real problem is the economics. So, because we're smart enough to figure out the technologies, it's just really hard to figure out how to pay for it. So we were working on technologies that would fit into business models that would enable commercial applications in space so that we could develop more ways to benefit people on the Earth that would create additional revenue streams. And as a result, it would end up making it possible for NASA to do things like send humans to Mars. And so that's really the big problem we've been working on for decades.
Listeners, do you have questions about the role of private corporations in space exploration? Thoughts or feelings about billionaires in space? Give us a call. Our number is 646-435-7280. Now, as I mentioned, last week, Richard Branson went to the edge of space. This week, Jeff Bezos went to the edge of space. And if you're online at all, you probably saw a lot of hot takes about space billionaires. So we asked you on the show today, Dr. Metzger, because you tweeted out some interesting context in response to those hot takes. Can you give us kind of a radio version of that thread? I mean, what does NASA need the private sector to accomplish for this to be considered a good arrangement for the agency?
Well, back in about the 2010s, NASA was dealing with the fact that we were trying to do Project Constellation to put humans on the surface of the moon again. And it was becoming well known that we weren't going to be able to afford it. And so as a result, President Obama canceled the project. At that time, NASA had to deal with the aftermath, figuring out, well, what now? You know, if we can't afford to do moon landings, we're certainly not going to be able to do Mars landings. So we have to change the game somehow. And by the way, I'm here not speaking as a spokesperson for NASA. I'm mm-hmm. a private academic now. But the NASA administrator and others at a high level of NASA began saying, we've got to figure out a new way to do this. And so NASA came up with a strategy called sustainable exploration, which had about 10 or so pillars. One of the most important pillars was the idea that NASA has to help commercial companies get started to develop business plans that are commercially viable to do stuff in space, so that those companies can develop the technologies, the assets, and sustain the supply chain and sustain the workforce without everything coming out of the NASA budget. And then NASA would be one of the customers of those commercial companies, just one of the customers, so that it would not have to bear the full cost of all the in-space infrastructure. And that was back in the early 2010s. Since that time, there's been a lot of NASA documents coming out that implement sustainable exploration. There have been a lot of NASA programs that have given out contracts to help stimulate commercial space activity. And these include the commercial cargo contract to have companies taking cargo to the space station using their own capabilities to do it. The commercial crew, we now see SpaceX launching humans to the space station using a rocket they developed with their own funding. And there's the commercial payload lunar services contract. So there's about 11 companies that have been qualified by NASA to deliver payloads to the surface of the moon using their own commercially developed landers. And it goes on. So there's mm-hmm. been a lot of progress. And now in that context, we can explain why the billionaires are suddenly flying into space, because it fills an economic niche that these companies are finding necessary in order to develop these programs and this infrastructure that will support NASA.
So we've got Virgin Galactic, we've got Blue Origin, and we've got SpaceX. And you wrote in that Twitter thread that you haven't always been hopeful about the private sector's role. What turned you around?
Well, so I've always been an optimist that in the end we're going to get it figured out, and we're going to make space economically viable. And like most people who are working in space, I'm very enthusiastic about this, because once we can begin to move industry off the surface of the planet, it can produce amazing environmental benefits for the Earth, because the biology of this solar system needs planet Earth, but the machinery does not really need the Earth. The machinery could be happy in space. So we need to find ways to put the machinery off the planet. But it's an economic problem. So like most people, I've been working on trying to solve this problem. How do we make it economic to move industry off the Earth? So there are a lot of different ideas how to do this. I've got a list I've been keeping for decades, and there's about 39 basic top-level concepts of how to motivate investment and do economic activity off the planet. One of those items is space tourism. And space tourism is the one where I've used to be very pessimistic. I used to think, well, you know, there's going to be a few billionaires who can buy a ticket and go to space, but it's never going to be a significant fraction of the revenue needed to maintain space infrastructure. So I just thought, well, you know, it's a game some people are playing. But if you go to Google Scholar and you search space tourism in quotes, you'll find there have been 12,000 published papers on this topic. So this is not something that we're just doing randomly at the last moment. You know, there's been a lot of thought going into this. And you'll find papers all over the map, papers arguing against it, papers arguing for it, papers saying it'll hurt the environment. But the people who are trying to find a business case that works are publishing that it has to go through a series of stages. And one of the first stage is going to be where only billionaires and high-end millionaires can afford tickets. And they argue that by catering to the ultra wealthy, this will allow them to get a number of flights and to mature their technologies, mature their processes, and scale it up so that the prices will come down. And then eventually they will be catering to wealthy people that are not ultra wealthy. And then eventually in the final stage, it'll become mass market acceptable. So that's where it'll really start to produce revenue that can significantly support these companies.
Well, and, we have, oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I was just going to say, yeah, I used to be skeptical that they weren't really going to be able to bring the cost down that much. But over the past decade, we've seen so much progress in these rocket companies that I really am starting to believe that the launch prices are going to come way down. And so space tourism is actually going to be a significant stream of revenue to support them.
We've only got a couple of minutes left. I wanted to ask you, where are the policymakers in all of this? What can lawmakers and regulators do from your perspective to kind of usher along this new era of civilian space flight and to do so in a way that's conducive to NASA's kind of idealistic roots?
Well, so far the policymakers have been amazingly supportive of what's happening in NASA and in commercial space flight. So a few years ago, they decided not to put in excessive regulations because they wanted to give the industry a period of time to explore and try it out. And then after everybody gets smarter, the policymakers would come back in and try to put in some more regulatory boundaries on the industry that would make sense. So we're still in this period where they're being rather hands-off from a regulatory perspective. Of course, we do require every launch to get a launch license. So nobody in the world really, but even including the United States, is allowed to launch a rocket into space unless their government refuses what they're going to do and gives them approval. So we do have basic government oversight, maintaining control over this industry, and policymakers will take the necessary steps to make sure that it makes sense going forward.
Okay. What really interests... I'm afraid that's where we're going to have to leave it. Okay. We're completely run out of time. Dr. Philip Metzger is a planetary physicist at the University of Central Florida and the founder of NASA's Swamp Works at Kennedy Space Center. Thank you so much for being here on All of It.
It's my pleasure.